Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. If I had to choose one word which best describes the modern understanding of preachers and preaching, it would be the word confusion. Some churches hire their preachers to do the work of elders, of deacons, and of other Christians. Our word surrogate fairly well describes what many religious people think of their preacher. He is to do all or most of the hospital going, soul winning, and other good works which the Scriptures bind on all Christians. Whatever light, therefore, I can provide from the Bible to help us better understand the work of preachers should be time well spent. I invite you to pay special attention to the Greek words for preacher and preaching. There are more than 30 of these words. They all add to our understanding and appreciation of preachers and their work. One word, sousateo, which is never translated preaching, nevertheless has a direct bearing on preaching. The word literally means questioning, but in Acts is rendered disputing. The word is used only 10 times in the New Testament, 2 times in Acts. The following information is given about Stephen's encounter with certain radical and intolerant Jews at Jerusalem. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Acts 6, 8 and 9. The word in this context seems to involve some rancor and bitterness, but it need not be so. After Saul's conversion to Christ, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Acts 9:29. The noun form of the word is used 3 times in Acts and is translated disputation. Acts 15:2, disputing. Acts 15:7, and reasoning. Acts 28:29. From a Christian viewpoint, disputing and debating must always be done in the right spirit and for the right reason. But it is legitimate to debate in some circumstances, or our Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit-filled apostles would not have engaged in debating or disputing. One of the reasons debating has fallen on hard times in our generation is a lack of commitment to one's belief. Many theologians deny that absolute truth exists. So why debate our doubts and uncertainties? One of the most common words for preaching, especially in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the Greek keruso. It is used 61 times in the New Testament. 32 of these appear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The verb is used only 8 times in Acts. The noun form of the word kerugs in the King James Version is always rendered preacher and is used 3 times in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:7, 2 Timothy 1:11, and 2 Peter 2:5. The noun means a herald, one who delivers another's message without adding to or taking away or substituting for. The herald could not alter the message in any way, nor could he negotiate with the recipient of the message. Although the word herald is not used in the following passage, the verse describes exactly the responsibility of the herald. God said to Moses, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Deuteronomy 4:2. In the words of our courts, we are to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If we do otherwise, we will be condemned. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. The Greek verb, sumbibazo, means to join together and signifies proving. The word is used 6 times in the New Testament. but only two of these times are in the book of Acts. Luke uses the word of Paul's preaching just after his conversion. And Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Acts 9:22. Is it appropriate for gospel preachers to prove the themes they are propounding? My friends, mere assertions or affirmations may not do much good for the hearer. We must make sure we are preaching only the truth and prove from the Scriptures that what we are saying will stand the test of challenge and of controversy. Proof of preacher's statements should be required, and proof should be offered. The Greek verb parangelo is another very common word for preaching. In fact, it is used 30 times in the New Testament, 11 times in Acts alone. The word is never translated preach in the King James Version. It is usually rendered command, charge, and declare. The Apostle Peter used the word in his sermon to the first Gentile convert, Cornelius. And God commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. Acts 10:42. Paul rebuked the spirit of divination in a young woman in Philippi by saying, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Acts 16:18. The Greek protasso is another verb which can be translated command. Walter E. Vine lists seven words, including protasso, which mean command. Please notice that word used in Luke's account of the conversion of Cornelius. Cornelius said to the Apostle Peter, Immediately, therefore, I sent unto you, and you have done well that you have come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Acts 10:33. At the end of Peter's teaching at the house of Cornelius, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10:48. In this great conversion, as you can readily understand, Cornelius was ready to hear the truth of the gospel. Peter, by the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, commanded Cornelius and the members of his household to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Diakoneon is a very meaningful word in Acts, and it is used of many others than preachers. One form of the word, diakonos, is the word transliterated deacon. The basic meaning of the word is service or ministry, but not preaching. The noun diakonia is used 34 times in the New Testament, 8 times in Acts. It is used, for example, in connection with the Grecians who were complaining that their widows were being neglected in the daily ministrations. Acts 6:1. The word ministrations means service or ministry. The Grecians were saying, in effect, our widows are not being served as our other widows. The apostles apparently recognized the legitimacy of the Grecians' complaints and arranged for some of the Grecian Jews to take care of the problem. It was not because the apostles thought they were too good to comply with the requests of the Grecians, but the apostles had other work to do. Please listen to the apostles. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:2-4. As you can discern from these inspired words, God has selected preachers to be continually devoted to the ministry of the word. We cannot afford to neglect that responsibility. The word diegomai is used only 3 times in Acts and is always translated by the English declare, although In other New Testament passages, the word is rendered either tell or show. The literal meaning of the word is to conduct a narration through to the end. Let me give you one example. After Peter had been miraculously released from prison and had come to the house of Rhoda, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things to James and to the brethren." Acts 12:17. The Greek verb apangelo is used 44 times in the New Testament and means to bring word again, to show, to tell, to declare, and to report. The verb signifies to announce or to report from a person or a place. Acts 12 uses the word two times. "And when Rhoda knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. But Peter, beckoning with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, 'Go show these things to James and to the brethren.' And he departed and went to another place." Acts 12:14-17. The Greek verb mathetuo is used only three times in the entire New Testament. It is the word translated teach in Matthew's account of the Great Commission. The word literally means to make disciples. It is also translated teach in Acts, although some versions render the word make disciples. I shall read one verse from Acts. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, that is, had made many disciples, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch." Acts 14:21. The Greek verb diaphero means to bear through or to carry in different directions. Acts uses the word just two times. In the following verse, the verb is rendered "was published," and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Acts 13:49. Instead of using the expression "was published," the American Revised Version says "was spread abroad." In one instance, the verb is translated "driven up and down." Acts 27:27. Several of the Greek verbs I have discussed with you mean to declare or to tell. Diegeomai, which is normally translated tell, or show, or declare, is another of those words. Ek diegomai means to declare fully, or to tell in full. The New Testament uses the word just two times, both in the book of Acts. In the Apostle Peter's sermon at Antioch in Pisidia, he quotes these words from Habakkuk 1:5. "Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Acts 13:41. The word declare in this verse means to tell fully. Paul used the same word in speaking of the conversion of the Gentiles. "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Acts 15:3. The idea of announcing the gospel is revealed in several Greek words. Among these is anangelo, which appears 18 times in the New Testament, 6 of these in the book of Acts. In Acts, the word is translated rehearsed, declared, tell, and show. One verse should be adequate to demonstrate the meaning of the word. After Paul and Barnabas had made their first missionary journey, they returned to Antioch in Syria. "And when they were come and had gathered their church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Acts 14:27. In the beginning of our lesson today, I mentioned the Greek verb suzeteo, which means to question or to dispute. The noun form is rendered disputation, disputing, and reasoning. This word unquestionably justifies debating or discussing religious questions with others. But the word I want to mention now makes that truth even plainer. The Greek, dialegomai, appears 13 times in the New Testament, 10 times in Acts alone. Incidentally, our word dialogue, which means a conversation between two or more persons, comes from this Greek verb. The King James Version translates the verb disputed 4 times, reasoned with 4 times, preached or preaching 2 times. The word involves discussing, debating, disputing. The word is a perfectly honorable one and shows that gospel preachers and others can have vigorous discussions on biblical truths. Controversy can certainly devolve into bitterness, anger, and rancor, but it need not do so, as is evident from the book of Acts. Let us take special note now of several uses of the verb in the great book of Acts. When Paul visited the city of Thessalonica, he went into the Jewish synagogue on 3 different Sabbath days and reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Acts 17:2. In the city of Ephesus, Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 19:8. Paul's discussions with the Jews at Ephesus were not very fruitful. When some of the Ephesians spoke disparagingly of the truth of God's way, Paul departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Acts 19:8 and 9. The discussions or debates in that school lasted for 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Acts 19:10. One of the Roman rulers before whom Paul was tried was a man named Felix. This petty Roman ruler was living in adultery with his third wife, Drusilla, who is a Jewess. Paul took advantage of being in the presence of Felix and of Drusilla and reasoned of righteousness, temperance, or self-control, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered Paul, "Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Acts 24:24-25. Paul was neither afraid nor ashamed to debate with a civil ruler. Faithful gospel preachers must be ready and willing to discuss or to debate their convictions about God's inspired book. Modern men may think it is inappropriate and unchristian to debate religious issues, but we are not the followers of the spirit of the age. We are to imitate Jesus Christ and His apostles, even if it means being unpopular with the world. Jesus debated, the apostles debated, and did much good in the process. How do we think we can improve on the attitudes and methods of Jesus Christ and of the apostles? Preaching must be vigorous, informed, and uncompromising, but it must never be mean. That is one of the reasons the New Testament uses the word patho, to persuade. The book of Acts uses the word 17 times. The Greek patho means to persuade, to prevail over, or to win over, bringing about a change of mind by the influence of reason or moral consideration. Even if the word persuade were never used in the New Testament, you would know from studying Christ and the apostles' sermons that they often use persuasion, not physical force, in bringing men into the kingdom of God. Paul's great sermon on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 is an excellent example of piling argument upon argument to persuade men of the truth of the gospel. The apostles and the other early gospel preachers were constantly teaching others and persuading them to become members of the body of Christ. The book of Acts is filled with examples. Let us take note of a few of these examples. after Paul had preached a sermon in Antioch of Pisidia, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, that is Paul and Barnabas, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Acts 13:42-43. During Paul's preaching in the city of Ephesus, he was accused by the silversmiths of persuading and turning away many people, saying that there be no God, which are made with hands. Acts 19:26. You can know for sure that the Holy Spirit led Paul to use the most powerful arguments available to convince the Ephesians to turn away from idolatry, which was rampant in Asia Minor, and to worship the true and living God. New Testament Christians may not use force to bring anyone to Christ. We must use persuasion to lead men into the church of our Lord. Islamic leaders, including Mohammed, have used physical force to convert men to their faith. Christians may not use physical force. We use only the sword of the Spirit, the Word of Almighty God. Using force to seek to convert men to the Prince of Peace is an abomination. The book of Acts uses one word, exegeomai, which relates primarily to drawing out the meaning of the Word of God. The word is used only 6 times in the New Testament, 4 of these in the book of Acts. The Greek verb means to explain, to interpret, to report. The literal meaning is to draw out or to lead out. In the King James Version, the verb is rendered told and declared. The Greek could be translated rehearsing. Acts 15 uses the word 2 times. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by their hands. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Acts 15:12-14. Ektithemi is used 3 times in Acts in reference to preaching. The word is always translated expounded. Let us take a brief look at all 3 examples of the word used in the book of Acts. And Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. Acts 11:4. Aquila and Priscilla took the great Greek preacher Apollos unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Acts 18:26. When Paul arrived in the city of Rome, he was given an opportunity to explain his beliefs and to defend himself against the false charges which the Jews had brought against him. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Acts 28:23. In this one verse from Acts, we have 3 important words on preaching: expounded, testified, and persuading. There is one verb in Acts which relates to preaching that is used nowhere else in the New Testament. The verb means to refute completely. Please notice its use in connection with Aquila and Priscilla's teaching of Apollos. Apollos was a mighty preacher and knew much about the Old Testament, but his knowledge of New Testament baptism was incorrect. He knew only the baptism of John. After Aquila and Priscilla had taught Apollos the Word of God more perfectly or more accurately, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Acts 18:28. The word prophecy comes from the Greek prophetuo and does not necessarily mean to predict. The word means to speak for another. In Acts and throughout the rest of the Bible, prophetuo means to speak for God. The word is used 28 times in the New Testament, but only 4 times in Acts. For example, while Paul was preaching in Ephesus, he laid his hands on some new converts who spoke with tongues and prophesied. Acts 19:6. We know from the book of 1 Corinthians that prophecy was a miraculous gift, but we also know it is not available to men in our day. 1 Corinthians 12:10 and 1 Corinthians 13:8-9. Prophecy was absolutely essential to the establishment and growth of the early church, but it is not needed today, since we have the completed revelation of God in the Bible. One word relating to preaching must be discussed before our time expires. The Greek verb apologeomai and the noun form apologia are very important words in Acts. These words are used 8 times in Acts and only 18 times in the rest of the New Testament. The Greek words mean to give a reasoned explanation for what we believe. Probably the best known New Testament passage using the word apologia is 1 Peter 3:16, where the word is translated answer. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Our study of the words for preacher and preaching in Acts has probably not been exhaustive, but I have tried to be thorough. It is essential that we understand the words which the Holy Spirit guided the apostles and other Bible writers to use. The biblical words for preachers and preaching should give us some insight into the work and the responsibilities of preachers. I sincerely hope and pray you have profited from this in-depth study of the words for preachers and preaching. I close with these words from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. My friends, we encourage you to continue to listen. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.